9:03, and Matt is going to give us a great lesson today, I'm sure.
Matt asked me to read a scripture before he starts. So, from Joshua chapter 24, starting verse 14, I'm just going to go for a while. So, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered, "Far be it for us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. If it was the Lord, it was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt and from the land of slavery and performed those signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and all along and all among the nations throughout which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive you. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away your foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed them the decrees and the laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up under an oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be the witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance.
Well, I've got to say we had a great week at camp this week. I wore my camp shirt just to let you see what a great job that they did at designing it. Jim, did you design this? He did a great job designing it. He was also, he can cook anything for a large number of people. We came home with so many different leftovers because he just made so much. And just watching him work in the kitchen was just amazing. And rumor has it that Stevie sleeps with her camera. Because I know midweek I checked her camera and she had over about 1,500 pictures around that time, and so she probably has well over 2,000 pictures that you'll see some of those documenting the week at camp, you know. And Davey and Becky and the family do such a wonderful job at coordinating these things, and Brandon and I just appreciate them so much. And Betsy taught the kids how to make weapons, and they fired them at one another, and I got hit by quite a few marshmallows. On Thursday night after the fireworks, and I even learned how to keep a fire going during the pouring torrential downpour. So it was a wonderful week at camp, and you just don't know. And if you haven't experienced it, I hope you get an opportunity to do that, even to just drive out for a day and spend the day at camp with us next year and see what it's all about. Because I know this for a fact. After watching Jim's videos with starring our own Jaquan and Ladarius over here, I know that if Peter, James, and John, and Andrew had been fishermen like Jaquan and Ladarius, that they would have died of starvation long before Jesus called them. Because if you get a chance to see those videos, maybe they'll post them online for you to look at, but obviously, that was not their calling. But today, I've been thinking about this for a few weeks. You know, I, as I listen to different people's sermons and get, I come up with thoughts and, you know, and ideas and such like. I'm not afraid to glean. That's a nice word for thievery. Ideas from other people. And I've been thinking about doing a lesson on the mindset of the faithful. What is the mindset of a faithful? What kind of mindset do we have to have as faithful children of God? And there's a lot of scriptures that I'm going to share with you today that have to deal with this. And maybe some people that we read about in the scriptures that deal with a mindset of what a Christian should be. And the first one, as JJ read, comes from the book of Joshua. Now, Joshua, he had gone into the promised land with the children of Israel after wandering. And he became basically, after the death of Moses, he became the pretty much the leader of the children of Israel. And yet he saw that God's people, some of them brought with them, you know, from experience in the desert where they made the golden calf and such like this, that they did not have the mindset of the faithful. He said, I, you know, you are a testimony to yourselves. You know, God, you are worshiping idols from across the Euphrates. You're worshiping idols of the Amorites in the land that we've conquered and taken over. You are not doing what God wants you to do. And regardless of what you do, my household and I, we're going to serve the Lord. So the first mindset I want to talk about is the mindset of it doesn't matter what other people are doing. It doesn't matter if everybody is doing something different. We have to be able to stand up and say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The people said, no, we will serve the Lord. You know, he brought us across the desert. He brought us to this place. He helped us to conquer Jericho. He has done so much for us. We will serve the Lord. Joshua was able to motivate them by what he said, by his example, to have the mindset to serve the Lord. And the scripture goes on to say that they continued to follow God and his will into the next few generations because they had the mindset of the faithful as seen through the example of Joshua. It doesn't matter what we come up against, that we have to be grounded in our faith to be able to stand up and not be swayed by everything that comes along, but to stand firm in what we believe. In Acts 13:22, it is a quote. It is quoted that David was a man after God's own heart, and that's the next person we're going to look at is David. David, we wrestle with this sometimes after we see the kind of things that David did in his life. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. David was not always a faithful person every moment of his life, but we can read through the Psalms and we can see that David had a penitent heart. David was not afraid to admit when he messed up, when he was wrong. David was humble before God. In Psalm 16, we're going to look at verses 7 and 8 for just a minute, I'll read those for you. David says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. It is hard to not live as the faithful when our eyes are constantly on God. David says, he instructs me even when I go to, when I lay in my bed at night, my thoughts are about God. When I get up, my thoughts are upon God. My eyes are always focused on the Lord being there before me. And we need to get this mindset that our focus from the time we get up to the time we go to sleep is focused on God's will. You know, no matter what comes along, what interrupts our day, what distractions that the world may throw before us, we need to keep God right directly in front of us and before us that we will not be shaken, as he says. Even before this, there was a fellow named Job. And I'll just quickly read through that passage that kind of describes Job's. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." And yet, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are all dead, and I am the only one to escape to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. I cannot imagine having one occurrence like that happen in my life. Yet, the chain reaction that Job felt, all of his livestock at one point or another destroyed, his servants wiped out, his family's house collapses upon them and kills them, leaving just Job and his wife. I don't know that the mindset of the faithful is what Job has here when he says, you know, "I didn't have anything when I came into this world. I won't have anything when I leave this world. I can't take it with me. But regardless of whatever happens in this world, God be praised." That is a faith beyond all imagination. You know, that when all these tragedies beset him, he did not ask God why. He did not blame God. He did not charge God with wrongdoing. He realized that this world is the world that we live in, and that his life is not a part of it without God. He has the mindset of the faithful. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The life of the faithful is a life that's transformed. It's not the same as everybody else that's around you. It has to be obvious to the world around you that your life is not like theirs, because of the joy that you have knowing that God stands before you, that the reflection of God in your eyes as you gaze into other people's eyes of this world. The mindset of the faithful is going to reflect that. The mindset of the faithful is going to be obvious to every person that you know that God dwells within you. They can see it through your eyes because your heart pours through your eyes. And so we're not conformed to this world, but we need to be transformed from this world. This is not my world. We sing that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I can't feel at home in this world anymore." I can't feel at home in this world. If I begin to feel at home in this world, my focus is in the wrong place. My desire, my mindset is looking in the wrong direction. When God stands before me, all I see is God's will. And when I glance from side to side, I take my eyes off of God, and I'm distracted. Psalms 119, 33 through 40. Teach me, Lord, the ways of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servants so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are so good. How I long for your precepts, your laws. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Psalms 119 here, these few verses, is a summation of what the mindset of the faithful is. Teach me your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may know what your commands are, that I may be able to read your word and study your word and know what you want from me, Lord. Do not let me turn my head from side to side and get distracted by the things of the world and for my own selfish gain. Help me to fear you. Help me to fear what is going to be my fate if I don't humble myself before you. And in your righteousness, preserve my life. Not only now, because this world doesn't matter, but preserve my life for your glory, that I might be able to bow before you and worship you in heaven. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We cannot leave out the thankfulness for what God has done for us. We sing praises to God. I was reading earlier this week, you know, about the mindset of singing praises to God, what it means, and how it's not about the tune of the song. It's not about the harmony of the song. It's about the message of the song. You know, and sometimes we get in a routine of singing words and not really listening to the words that we sing. But you know, when he commands us to sing praises to him, I don't think that just means right here in this assembly. I think that means throughout our life, in our day-to-day life, to sing praises to him, either from within our hearts as we glorify him, or to physically sit down and just sing how great God makes us feel for what he's done for us. And that strengthens our faith, and it helps us to have the mindset. It helps us to be rooted in what we believe. Colossians 3, 1 through 5. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Hard to do. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Have you ever thought about what your earthly nature is? How your earthly nature entices you to do what this world wants you to do? It says destroy your earthly nature. What you by nature want to do, it says put that aside and focus upon the will of God, and be overflowing with thankfulness. Philippians 2, 1 through 13. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but looking about each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest places and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but not now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is a God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's an ongoing process. It's not something that you never just ever arrive in this relationship with God. When you begin to feel like you are important to God, that's when you need to reevaluate. As it says here, Jesus took on the form of man to show humility before his Father, to humble himself before his Father. We're born into that body. We're already mankind, and we need to be able to humble ourselves before one another. It says to serve one another, to humble ourselves before one another, to think about others before we think about ourselves. This is what the mindset of the faithful does at all times. It is not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about who I am. It's about who God is. It's about what he wants. It's about his relationship that we have with us. And the mindset of God says that we don't think of ourselves as worthwhile. You know, Paul talked about, in Philippians, he talks about being as rubbish compared with the richness of knowing Christ Jesus. That although he has done all these wonderful things, he had been blessed in so many different ways by studying under the best and to have righteous indignation in the past and serving the Jewish commands, that he considers everything that has built him up in his life as nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. That's the form of a servant that we're talking about. That's the form of humility that we need to strive for. It's not wanting to be first. It's wanting to be last. It's wanting to see others find God more than we want our own selfish ambitions. He tells us not to set our minds on things, on high things. Do not to be haughty. Do not be ambitious, so ambitious that we lose sight of our goals. Jesus went out to the poor. We read this all throughout the scriptures, even in the Old Testament and New Testament, the characteristics of the people that God wants us to serve: the widows, the poor, the downtrodden, those that are made fun of, those that are picked on by other people. Those are the people that we need to recognize, to reach out to, those that do not have. Because they're already poor in spirit. We need to reach out to those people. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. You know, sometimes we get asked, what's our favorite scripture? And I can't say that I have a favorite scripture, but if I was going to have one, this is probably going to be it. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is not sometimes. It's not occasionally. It's not on Sunday morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your humbleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Let's think about that for just a minute. The Lord is always near. The Lord is within us through His Spirit. The Lord is near. So there's the cause of our rejoicing, knowing that the Lord is a part of us. That's because that is our mindset. We are going to rejoice. And we're not going to be braggarts about it. We're going to be humble about it. We're going to be thankful to God for what He has done for us. And we're going to bow a knee and bow low before God in humility and rejoice in what He's done for us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God is not a God that doesn't hear us. God is not a God that does not want us to talk to Him. God is a God that wants to have a relationship with Him as much as we should want to have a relationship with Him. And in every situation it says, by prayer and supplication. Now that's groveling almost, you know, by praying to God and humbling ourselves before Him, let our request be made known to God. God works in our lives. If you don't believe in prayer, you don't believe in God, because God works through prayer. God listens to your hearts. And you don't even have to speak it out loud. You can say it in your heart. You can say it in your mind. And God hears you. God knows what you're dealing with. And when you struggle, God wants you to come to Him about those struggles. And He wants to comfort you. He wants to bring you the peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God that transcends all understanding, it's so peaceful that we cannot even understand it. He grants us that. He promises us that peace, that the feeling that we don't have to be anxious about anything, that we don't have to worry. I took on this philosophy back when I was in college, that I was never going to worry about anything ever again. That no matter what comes along, no matter how bad things get, I decided I'm not going to worry about it, because God has promised me that I don't have to be anxious for nothing. That He even takes care of the birds and clothes them. And if He'll clothe them, He'll take care of us, He says. And so the anxiety that this world has, the anxiousness that this world shows, the tightness that they feel is because they haven't turned it over to God. We don't have to feel that. He promises us here that the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Righteousness, purity, loveliness, admirability, and things that are excellent and praiseworthy. He tells us to think on these things. And when we have this mindset where we put these things in front of us, when we see God and we know that He provides for us, that God brings us joy, and though the world around us collapses like it did on Job, that God, you know, true faith, that God will take care of us. I see this more and more as I get older, people fearing death, afraid that they're going to die, doing whatever they can to prolong their lives, to keep from dying. And I think it's a tie to this world. I think that if we just let go and we say, God, your will be done. Whatever happens to me, it's not my life, it's your life. You've given it to me. Yeah, I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave this world naked. I'm not taking anything with me but my faith. I think if we can have that kind of an attitude about God, then we have the mindset of the faithful. If we can walk with God and always have him before us from the time we wake up to the time we close our eyes, to know that and even dream of what God is like and what heaven is like, that we will find that peace that passes all understanding, that transcends anything we can imagine, and we will find that our mindset is God. And in every situation, with prayer and supplication, with prayer and thanksgiving, talk to God. And if we talk to God, and if we walk with God, and if we always have God before us, then this world cannot hurt us. This world cannot bring enough tragedy down upon our heads to make us worry that God will abandon us, because God promised he will be there for us, that he will care for us, and that we as God's people have something that the rest of the world would love to have and don't understand the way that we can understand it. And this, just as this weekend at camp, we talked about fishing for men and what that meant, you know, telling other people about God. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if the peace of God permeated our world, that you knew that every person that you came in contact understood what God was all about? Not going to happen probably, but we can have it here, and we can have it with other brothers and sisters that we meet each day, and that we have the encouragement that we are united together in Christ, that he is our Savior. Before we sing, would you bow with me, please? Dear God, we're just so thankful that we can have the mindset that you have guided us to have, that we can be humble, that we can be encouraged, that we can come to you like we do now in prayer, that we can find strength through any type of tragedy, that we can praise you and humble ourselves before you and glorify you through our voices, through our study, knowing that you will guide us into all truth. Thank you for each member, each person here today. Help them to realize that what you offer is nothing less than perfection, spiritual perfection. And all we have to do is to buy into it. All we have to do is to believe that what you say is true, accept it, and wear it. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, whose table we gathered around today. Thank you for the blood that he had. Help us to understand the love that went into his sacrifice. And help us to sacrifice ourselves for others in the same way that Jesus did for us. May you be praised and may you be glorified the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen.